Good afternoon and welcome to the Herald Journal's audio space. I am digital editor Gabe Wisnett, joined today by reporter Zach Fox. Today we're going to talk about his upcoming story, number two in the series on poverty-challenged schools in this area. This specific story is about the transients among four schools in the Four Schools Project: Lone Oak, Jesse Bobo, Mary H. Wright, and the Cleveland Academy of Leadership. All four of those schools dealing with transient students moving from one school to the other, and how to combat that problem and how to assist those children and those students who are having to move from school to school. First of all, Zach, it seems like it's one of those problems that the schools and the districts can't really keep from happening because it goes beyond their power.
Yeah, I'm sure if it was up to the school districts and school officials and, you know, teachers and principals, a lot of these kids wouldn't be in a situation to deal with transients at all. But when you look at the causes of transients and poverty in general, it goes so far beyond the walls of a school, and it becomes so many other issues like the cost of rental housing, just the area that you're in, economic opportunities. There's a lot more to it than schools can handle. So it sort of becomes, well, what can we control inside our walls every day when students show up?
Yes, and according to the story, among those four schools, 121 students were found to be transient. How much of a time period does that cover?
I think it covered part of the 2016-17 school year. I don't have that on me right now.
Gotcha. But nonetheless, I mean, that's a good number of students for four schools that are moving around, and a big issue for those schools.
Yeah, absolutely. And a lot of the transients, I guess, just to kind of clearly define it.
Yeah.
It's not, you know, packing up and moving to a new house because your parents got a new job or something like that. It's typically moves that are driven from poverty. Foreclosures, living in temporary housing and going to another temporary housing. It's events like that. So it's often unexpected.
Right.
Not typically a lot of time to pack up and prepare for a move. It's, you know, you have until the 15th to get out, and then everything kind of becomes chaotic.
Sure. And educationally, how does transients affect or how have these schools found that it affects a student's growth in the classroom?
Well, in talking to the principals of the schools and some other school officials, at these four schools, because of the issues of poverty that they've had for a long time, they've tried to put in this model called continuous improvement, which is basically just encouraging teachers and students and looking at the data behind it to always move up in every, you know, metric that there is. And several officials told me that transients is probably the biggest roadblock to getting that success in the schools and having that continuous improvement go on. Because when, you know, if you're a third grader and suddenly you have to move and you're not totally sure where you're going to sleep that night, your math quiz might not be as important. And they're using something that we've written about a few times here, the Compassionate Schools Initiative, to kind of train school officials, administrators, teachers to be, I guess, a little more empathetic with students, to maybe sit down and talk to them about what's going on beyond the school instead of, you know, punishing them when they don't have their homework. Obviously, you know, the teachers are going to want the students to come in with their homework done, but if they don't, and then the student suddenly talks about how, you know, they were kicked out of their apartment last night, the teachers are trained to handle that, and that kind of filters into the classrooms, especially these four schools, with really just making sure that students are catered to just sort of beyond test scores and academics. It's making sure that they are living at least a somewhat, you know, stable and supported life.
I'm going to put you a little bit on the spot with this last one, but in working on this series that you and our executive editor Mike Smith have been working closely on poverty challenged schools, what has been maybe the most eye opening aspect or aspects for you as you have dug into the data and information that you've been going through?
Wow, there are a few things that stick out, but I think one of them is going to be featured in one of the upcoming stories in the series, but it has to do with the summer slide, which is kind of the just colloquial term for knowledge that students lose over the summer,
right?
And that is a major deal at these schools dealing with poverty, because so many of these kids are either in a camp during the summer or are just staying at home or staying with relatives who may be working or something like that. So it really kind of drops what they go into the next school year with. A lot of that first few weeks of their next school year can be spent on retention and just kind of trying to regroup and recap what they learned in second grade as they're moving into third grade.
Right.
Another thing that I definitely think stuck out to me was how much less language a lot of these kids hear. Fred Logan, the principal at Cleveland Academy, he coined the term lap gap. He described it as, you know, when a lot of people are children, they're in their parents' laps, they're being talked to, they're being read to, they're hearing words, and that really has a major impact on development and being able to recognize sounds and words that eventually lead to speech and reading comprehension and all that. But a lot of times children in poverty, for one reason or another, don't have that kind of opportunity. They're not always sitting on mom and dad's lap hearing stories. And that can have just a crazy, crazy effect on a child's vocabulary when they start learning. Fred Logan was saying that, you know, if you come into first grade and you're suffering from this lap gap, you might know thousands fewer words than a lot of the other students in that age group, and that's really going to have a major impact on everything, reading comprehension, math, all of it, because ultimately, you know, for history tests, you still got to be able to read what it says. You've got to be able to understand it. You've got to be able to figure it out. So that lap gap, like you said, is something that needs to be closed.
Right. Zach, I appreciate your insight, and be sure to look for Zach's story, look for this continuing series on poverty challenged schools, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right.